Well, welcome back to Hunter Logan Unmiked. This is episode 2 of season 5. In this next season, I'm hoping to wrap up and get up to where we are now. Because I got a lot of stuff happening week to week that I could talk about. Which is really where I wanted to get to begin with. I got to tell you that the episodes are on my website, hunterlogan.org. Due to the financial strains, I had to let the part of the podcast where you pay monthly, or we paid it by the year because it was cheaper, but you pay a service and they put it everywhere, like on Apple and on Spotify and all those places. So I don't have it readily on all those places anymore. I mean, it's only on hunterlogan.org for now. I plan on getting it back there, though, as soon as we can get to a point to where we can get there again. So let's get into this episode. I'm calling this episode More Songs to Write, because now I'm in the songwriting mode. I didn't know it, that I'd be writing and doing an album. I had no clue that I'd be doing another one. By now, I'd written a song, Shack Up with the Devil, and I did a couple of performances, which the Smokehouse is turned into an annual thing now. We'll be doing our third one come February. First weekend of February, I believe it is. So I'm really happy about that. That's a wonderful thing for me. I never even imagined. And then, of course, the Stomp Barn in Florida, which I'm going to talk about in this episode as well. That has become an annual thing for me too, for playing and singing. So as I'm writing the songs, as I'm sitting down and writing more songs, God has just given them to me. And I came in one morning for one song, He Ain't Jesus. It was the He Ain't Jesus song. And I mean, within 10 minutes before I was going on the air, I had it wrote and everything. I had been thinking about how many of our artists that we play have been using these guys called Tune Designer in Covington, Georgia. And I realized that there were a lot of the music we were playing was by these guys. And the process was really simple. You play your guitar or keyboard, whatever, play your instrument, sing your song into your phone, on your recorder on your phone, send it to them. They record it, send it back to you. You can do your vocals if you got a good mic, basically in your closet or any room you want, send it back to them and it comes back radio ready. But I wanted to meet the guy in person that ran the thing. I wanted to do it in person before I did it. So I called and got in touch with him. I said, hey, I'm interested in, you know, using you. I just want to know a little bit more about you. And we talked. So I sent him the song. They come back. I really liked what they did with it. So I said, look, I'm going to come and record the vocals at your place. So I went over there and met him, and he's a great Christian man. We hit it off. And he's got a great spirit. My spirit jived with his. I mean, I could sense that he was on the up and up and just a great Christian man. And I knew God had sent me to the right place. So much so that I started on my first Christian album, which I had never done. I had never released a Christian album. I'd never wrote any Christian songs whatsoever. This was the first. Now, I've done all the swamp pop stuff, got over 200 published songs, been having that. I had never done anything that had given glory to God. I've always used my talent musically for the devil. Just a fact. And professionally, I use my talent for the devil. Never used it for the Lord. That's changing. For a total of 16 years, I didn't sing or play or write. No desire to write, no desire to play, no desire to sing. None. Now, I believe that was by design. Because the Lord had to get some things out of me. He definitely had to humble me musically. And that time, the the last 10 years, I've been promoting artists. I've been promoting other artists. I've been promoting people that do what I did. What I did for a living. For the last 10 years, that's what I've been doing. Promoting people doing what I did for a living. And now I'm coming back to stand on the same stage with some of them that I know personally. I'll tell you, that is a daunting task because I'm rusty. I know I'm rusty. But I know that I have a talent and I can't bury it. I know I'm not going to go out on the road again and sing and play to the degree of when I did it for a living. God's not going to put me through that again. He didn't call me to do that. And He didn't. And the songs I've been writing are really testimony songs, songs that I can use to witness to people. And that's all they really are. I might be writing songs for some other people. I do want to build my record label back up. That is in the plans. I think that's God's plan too. But all of this, I wait on Him now. I don't do it myself. I wait on Him. I know what happens when I go full steam ahead. It's a train wreck. That's why I have to wait on the Lord. So as I'm writing and getting these songs together, I get a call from my buddy, Jace Harrell. And he says, "Hey man," and this is the November time frame. He says, "Hey man, I'm putting this thing together. Why don't you come on down? Be a part of it." He said, "But I want you to come play and sing. I want you to come down as an artist." I said, "Really?" He said, "Yeah, man." He said, "I didn't realize." And I love this. I love this about Jace. Me and Jace, basically, he started his HTO at the same time I started the station. And we became friends. And I've been airing his show ever since. So we kind of started around the same time almost in that aspect. But he called me one day and he said, "You know, I didn't realize how much our style of music is the same." I said, "Man, I like the same stuff you like, dude." I said, "That's why I'm such a fan of yours, man." I said, "That style of music is just, yeah, I love it." He said, "Well, I want you to come down." He said, "I'm just getting a few artists together, and I want you to come down and be a part of it as an artist." I was honored. I said, "Man, I'm there. Dude, I am there." So it was me, Jace Harrell, Johnny Rowlett, Tommy Brandt, and Branded. And that was in November of 2020. And I did the song that was already out, that I had out, "You Can't Shack Up with the Devil." And then I did the songs that I was working on that hadn't come out yet. The CD hadn't come out yet, but I was working on them. And so I did those live and charted it with the band. It was there the night before, and we charted them out and did it. It went over great. Really enjoyed it. Went fantastic. Had a great time playing. And it was, whew, man, just phenomenal. And Tommy Brandt, I came by and talked to my wife. And he said, "That's the first time I ever seen Hunter really perform." He said, "You know, he's played around. Like, I've seen him pick up the guitar before and jam with this or do a little bit here and there, but I've never seen Hunter do this." And he gave me a compliment. And he said, "He's just as good as any one of us." That meant more to me that day than you'll ever know, than he'll ever know. And Tommy gave me one of the greatest compliments I could ever get. Probably doesn't even know that, but it is. As you're looking, I mean, here I am. I've been promoting these guys for 10 years. And I'm feeling like, what right do I have to get up there with these guys? Now, I know I can hold my own playing. I know I can hold my own doing that. It's not about that. It's not about being good enough. Because I've been playing for over, close to 40-something years now. I've been playing for 40 years now. But in my mind, and I'm sure it was Satan probably working on it, but I'm thinking that the artists are thinking, why does Hunter think he has the right to get up here and be with us? When I was invited by Jace to begin with. Your mind is where Satan loves to fight you the most. That's the battlefield. I think description of Bible that says, think on the good things. I think that's an important scripture. Because left alone, if we just keep letting Satan put thoughts in our mind, and we don't combat them with anything, and we don't resist them, it has a tendency to mess us up. And then we'll start believing stuff that ain't even true. I just gave you an example of how that worked on me. I'm a guy who used to would have to be in front of a bunch of people I don't know. Turn me loose and I'm good. Put me in a room with two or three people that I know, ask me to sing, play a song. I'd find a reason why I couldn't, or I'd just say, nah, it's all right. Scared to death. But not now. One person, two people, three, it don't matter who. Give me a guitar, I'll play and sing. My CD release party was nothing but family and church friends. That's all that came. And I was just as comfortable. It's because I'm doing it for the Lord now. I'm not doing it for me. I'm doing it for Him to get the glory, not me. So where I once had issues, I don't have them anymore. Because I made it about Him, the Lord Jesus Christ. Because He did such a work in my life. That talent I had, I kept using it. For over 20 years, I used it for the wrong thing. And now that He's given it back to me to use, He never took it away. He just kept it dormant for a bit. God's gifts are without repentance. He just kept me so He could get me right. And now He's turning me loose. But my heart is right. My spirit is right. My mind is right. Because I don't let Satan play up there anymore. It's about Him. If that music I make touches somebody, He gets the glory, not me. Because I can assure you, every song that has been written so far, and there's two projects now. There's The Prodigal and The Prodigal Part 2. I didn't even know there was going to be a Part 2. There'll be a podcast on that alone coming up. But every song on both of those CDs was written from a life experience, going through a trial, coming out of a trial, something with a Bible study, Bible verse I was reading. It's all something that I experienced, which I had never wrote from any true life experience in all my other songs. I've never done that. See, before, I was always looking for the glory myself. It was all about me. But not now. It's all about Him. If you're listening to this, maybe you knew Him once before. I'm talking about Jesus. He still loves you. He never left you. He's right where you left Him. You just got to turn around. And I'm telling you, if you don't know Jesus, you want to. My Jesus is real. He is really real. He has done so much for me. One of the reasons I do these podcasts is I'm chronologically, I don't even know if that's the right word, but I'm basically every season since the start of season one, episode one, it chronicles my life from the get-go. From growing up in church, to going astray, to coming back, to getting kicked out, to getting right, to trying to figure things out. Sharing them as I learn. In hopes that somebody can find Jesus through all of this. That's my whole point of the podcast, is that somebody can find Jesus. And you don't have to jump through hoops to find him, I promise you. You just got to want to know him. Man has made it so hard sometimes when it doesn't have to be. He is very accessible. I got to leave it right there. Come back again next week. I appreciate all of you who do listen to the podcast. I will tell you that The Prodigal Part 2 is out. You can get it on hunterlogan.org. The single is out. It's on every media outlet. You can download it, Spotify and all those type things. It's there, Amazon Music. It's there, the single. The new release off of The Prodigal 2, When Jesus Passed By. Until next time, I love you. I'm praying for you. Remember, Duke 28-2.